This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All we do is talk about food here, but that's a pretty darn good thing to talk about. You have to eat at some point during your life. And a lot of it, I hope for your sake, has always been much better than you thought you had. So anyway, that's why we are here, to talk about food in your house, in restaurants, wherever it is you find them. We'll go ahead and enjoy. And if you don't quite have it figured out, you know, what kind of restaurant is this, you know, that sort of thing, call us, because we've got a ton of information here. If I don't know it, if somebody else here doesn't know it, we have lots and lots of other sources, too. 260-6368. There was something going on in my household for, I guess it lasted 2 to 3 days. I was writing an article about steaks because Mary Ann mentioned to me, mentioned that she likes the idea of a steak because we had taken a walk over to Morton's, you know, the big, you know, Chicago-style steakhouse. And we went for an hour or two over there. It was a place we used to go to when we were younger and more something or other. And just had a lovely time. So it happened again just in the last, you know, hour and a half. No, much less than that. But my point for bringing this, all of this up, is that I would like to encourage you now to answer a question that we've had discussed many times over the years, but not in a long time. So I let's take a look at this and see if anybody's got anything to say. And if not, you can just, you know, fly away if you want. But anyway, here's the deal. Who do you think puts out the best steaks in New Orleans? Now, that gives you room for all kinds of possibles in terms of what constitutes.
That's a really good question.
I think it is, too. So let's go ahead and see what we come up with. What do you come up with?
I have something.
My dear.
Yeah.
What?
Steakhouses.
Steakhouses. That's right.
Are, to me, very sexy places.
Are they?
Yeah, they're like my favorite kind of restaurant in terms of environment.
There is a great
They're
quotation.
Very masculine, but I really like them.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So a steakhouse experience, to me, is at least as much about the place as the steak. Because I think that depending on your, and I talk about this from the perspective of a steakhouse owner, just depending on your purveyor and your own personal standards, a steak that's really good is not really that hard to do.
No, that's okay? True. But you have to pick out which kind of way you want to
do it. So a steakhouse experience can be judged, in my opinion, less on the steak and more on the environment it's served in, the style of service it's presented by, and the side dishes that accompany the steak. So
yes,
I would
true.
Rate my personal list of steak favorites more on those. But well, first of all, when I go to a steakhouse, I don't really eat very much steak.
No.
I usually get a couple of bites off of somebody else's steak and go for the side dishes because I'm not really that much of a carnivore.
Well, so, that keeps up your standards, yeah.
So if I had to think about places I wanted to go to eat a steak, mm-hmm. that would be kind of much more along the lines of how I would categorize it. But we went to Morton's because we haven't been in a long time, because it was close. It was a walk, because we had some good experiences there. When we got attached to Morton's, we were in Bethesda, Maryland, after Katrina, because I lived kind of across the street from the Morton's at Georgetown Road and Wisconsin in a new building called the Whitney. When I was up there the year after Katrina, when Jude had moved to Georgetown Prep, Mary Lee and I were up there. Tom couldn't wait to get home, and so we said, okay, bye. Anyway, Tom would come visit, though, and we would walk across the street and go to Morton's at the corner of Georgetown Road at the Hyatt there. And they have a really cool bar, or they did anyway. And it was very cozy. The bar was dark. It had only booths in it, and it was separated from the restaurant by a wall, actually. And so we would do happy hour there sometimes. And so we did happy hour here when we came back. We've done the Morton's happy hour before. We've also eaten in the restaurant several times over the last, 15 years. And then when Landry's took it over, it definitely did take a slide.
The Landry's?
The Landry Corporation took it over.
Oh, okay.
And it took a slide. I know the very distinctive big onion bread that they serve.
They were famous for that.
Yeah, and I like their booths. But when we went the other day, it had undergone a renovation, which made the bar part of the restaurant. There was no wall between it, and so it seemed like you were eating at the restaurant only in an inferior part, as opposed to a completely separate bar, which I always prefer.
Now, wait a minute. Is this the way that they are doing it now?
This is a couple of days ago. We were there Friday night, and we noticed that there had been a renovation.
And
so,
was it like this at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, or have you seen?
Well, I haven't gotten to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse yet. So,
because we ran into the exact same thing about 2-3 months
ago. Well, actually, no. Ruth's Chris has a decidedly distinctive bar, and it's really buzzing all the time. It's very cozy also, and I love it there. I love the bar at Ruth's Chris downtown, but I also really like the one in Metairie. So if I had to say where I would rather eat a steak any place in town,
mm-hmm.
I kind of think it would be Ruth's Chris in Metairie.
Mm. Well, you wouldn't be the first one because it's the only major steakhouse that has really a strongly local clientele.
Yeah, I like it. I like the feel of the dining room. I love the bar.
Mm-hmm.
It's always buzzing. I love the burger in the bar at happy hour. To me, I would rather go to a steakhouse for happy hour and have the burger that's only available then,
mm-hmm.
than to go and sit in the dining room and have a big steakhouse experience with a steak, because I don't really eat that much steak. Anyway, my favorite steakhouses would be Dory's Metropolitan. If you are looking for a really romantic, sexy place for Valentine's Day, that's it. Dory's Metropolitan.
Yeah, this is in the place that used to be the Alpine Cafe. It's about a block and a half away from the
idea of the dichotomy between the Alpine Cafe and Dory's Metropolitan. I just have to laugh at it, because Dory's is about as close to like a European environment as you're going to get in New Orleans. Anyway, very different. So I would say that, but just for comfort and total experience, I really like Ruth's Chris in Metairie,
mm-hmm.
and I really, really like the bar at Ruth's Chris in
Beautiful,
Metairie.
Beautiful bar at the one downtown.
Yeah, the one downtown is also really gorgeous, and again, for I think much more along the lines of, you know, like a romance kind of thing, romance place. It's beautifully done. But just for comfort's sake, I really like Ruth's Chris and Metairie. Mr. Yeah. John's, I also really like, but I never go to Mr. John's for some
hard
reason.
To get a table.
I don't know why.
Oh,
but
I'll tell you right now. Right. It is packed all the time.
That must be it. Yeah.
You have to book sometimes 3-4 months ahead of time. It's
incredible. Wow. Well,
are good.
I've literally maybe gone there 3 times in 30 years. Desi Vega in Metairie, I like.
I think he's terrific. He comes across at first as kind of like just a little Bond. I can't quite figure it out, but it has been a first-class operation since the get-go.
Yeah.
They've always been good.
I don't think anyone heard you say that, Tom, but what he said was Desi Vega runs a good steakhouse. You might want to talk up to the mic.
Anyway,
Desi Vega in Metairie, I really like, because I've always liked that space, not because it's particularly handsome or anything, but I like the fact that it's there's kind of a mid-century look to it, and I kind of like that. It's very Spartan. But I do like Desi Vega in Metairie. So those would be my steak places.
Okay.
The North Shore, Keith Young, hands down.
Yeah, we're there. And
you know, I love Pat Gallagher's. I really do.
Me too.
I never go to Pat Gallagher's.
I don't know why.
Because I think you're either a Keith Young person or a Pat Gallagher person, I am a Keith Young person. I don't know why. I guess because I do know why. I like the food better. I know that that's kind of blasphemy because Pat Gallagher cooks really great food, but I don't know. It's I can't explain it. Anyway.
Well, I mean, that's a pretty good.
I guess maybe because Keith's dining room has more of that masculine steakhouse look to it.
Well, this was part of what we did over the last several days. When we had a real tough
We went
problem.
Saturday night is
yeah,
what,
well, that's,
we're, what
that,
you're
I
getting
think
to.
That's, I
yeah.
think that's what we did, too, come to think of it.
We went and sat in the bar. Because it was too busy, and we sat in the bar, which was fine. Because
have you ever had the oysters Bienville?
Yeah. I know the story behind this.
Oh, good. Well, then I won't tell. Wait, you mentioned something about 10 minutes ago that I'd like to re-throw at you, if for whatever that's meaning.
We should be getting calls on this 260-6368.
Yeah, well, about steak, you would think that everybody would have some thoughts. Okay, you were talking about happy hour and a few things like that you like as much as better than the steaks. And then we kind of maneuvered around that. Have you ever been to the 21 Club in New York City?
Are you asking me?
Yes.
I was with you, yes.
You were. I got you for change because I've never set foot in the place.
Really?
Okay, so anyway, 21 Club. There was an article in, I forget which magazine it was, but it was a major style magazine. And they had this section where it was a combination of a bar and the restaurant all in one wrapped up. And Mimi Sheraton, who was the restaurant critic for the New York Times at that time, I was talking to her, and she and I and her husband, we all went to dinner once. I was really flattered to
You talked
that.
About Bialy's.
Bialy's. I think she had that done by then. But anyway, we got to talking about these things, and she said, you know, the reason I like going to the 21 Club is that there is something about it that is very distinctly homed in on a masculine kind of thing, and you
women
look around,
like masculine spaces.
And you see these airplanes hanging from the ceiling and stuff like that. I mean, some of it was ridiculous in a kind of mood like that. But she said, whenever I'm there, I just get a feeling of a woman my age. It just grabs me. And I thought, gosh, that's interesting. Of course, I'll never have any feeling about that. So I'm glad she did it for me. But I'm glad, even happier, that you brought it up, too. So thank you.
Tom, my favorite story about the 21 Club is the one that you told about Dick Brennan Sr.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll never forget that one either.
Well, tell it.
Oh, okay. Dick Senin. Let me recharge here. Dick Brennan Sr. Dick Brennan Sr. died about 3 or 4 years ago. He was a very good friend of mine. One of the most interesting people I've ever met in the New Orleans restaurant business. He talked about everything under the sun, some of which was ridiculous and funny, and some of it was just straight down the middle. But one time he said that he and his wife went to the 21 Club, and he knew that he would get, as soon as he walked in the door, they would give him a big collection and a welcome.
They give him a table
and they made a big fuss over him. They got ready for a meal that was just, you know, part of the program, and the bartender just walked over and said, Mister, do you know who that man is over there? Because whoever he is, I want to know, because I've been here for 25 years and no waiter has ever given me a tip.
No.
or something.
Not quite, but anyway, the story goes that Dick Brennan went with his wife and did not get a check from the waiter.
That's
and the waiter
is,
said,
yeah.
Mister, you must really be somebody, because nobody's ever eaten on the house before.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, all right.
260-6368 is the number. You're listening to WWL 105.3 FM, HD2.
You are on the, let's see here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, something, illusion of the food show, and it's great to be here with you, and I'm glad you came with me, and all of those things kind of jam together, and we get from it a conversation, we hope, about what you eat, what you would rather not eat, or, you know, there's a bunch of different ways you can approach this. But the one that I would ask you to at least think for a minute on, as I started in the last hour, steaks. We are steak eaters in this city. I think it's safe.
Everyone's a steak eater, just about.
Well, I think we New Orleans more than most places, believe it or not. But we'll just let it sit there and just all acknowledge the fact that it's out there and we love it. So, which is your favorite kind of steak, and that could be anything. Can you like a ribeye or a filet mignon? Could you go for steak on skewers? I mean, there's a bunch of different ways that steak can be served. What's the way that you like? And having found that, can you send me some? No, that's just one of my, you know, goofy.
I had prime rib for the first time.
Prime rib.
A couple of nights ago at Keith's, and I decided that you're right.
I'm right?
Yes.
A lady just said I'm right?
Yes, that prime
rib.
No,
it can't be possible. Doug, write that down somewhere.
It was a special, and I got it. And it's one I'm going to put it into my my thing category.
Your thing category.
Yeah, where I think I like something, but I don't really.
Oh, give me an example.
Fish and chips.
Fish and chips. Absolutely right. You can go to get in the middle of London, and you can go into the nicest hotels and everything. You go around for that, and you'll have these guys standing on the corner.
You probably won't get fish and chips in the nicest hotels.
You are. Well, you never know. But let's say you won't. But what you do wind up with is fish and chips, and if you know of something about that that is really good and pleasing, would you please send me a note and tell me about it, because I ain't seen it, even with the help of all of you girls who just for
well,
some
I'll tell
reason
you what.
Really love it.
Fish and chips traditionally is served with a tempura batter, which...
It's bad to begin.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about that.
What is it?
What is tempura?
It just blows up. The coating of it blows.
It forms a real crust.
A bubble.
And actually separates from the fish, which is not like our fried fish, which kind of hangs to the fish, which is much better. I had a version of fish and chips in Bahaba, Maine.
Bahaba, yeah. That's a good place to get.
Yeah, on that last cruise we took up there, and it was.
And that
I don't,
was my
And again,
last.
I don't know if it was the context or what, but it was a rainy day, and it was cold, and it was just nasty weather outside. Folks, excuse me. I just have to keep clearing my throat. Something's settling in there. And I went into this restaurant where there was a fire, and it was right on the water. So you could watch the boats coming in and depositing people from the cruise ships. And you could see all the activity in this cruise port. And I could watch all of this from the warmth and coziness by a fire in this place whose name I can't remember, I'm sorry to say. But, okay, it was delicious, but it wasn't traditional fish and chips that were tempura batter. It was more like fried fish, but they called it fish and chips, and I loved it. Anyway, we got off on fish and chips because we were talking about things that I think are good that aren't really meaning prime rib. So let's go to Steve. Is Steve there?
Steve.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Oh,
we
yeah,
can
well,
hear
we
you.
Got you.
Yes.
Huh?
Yeah, we can
hear
you fine. Go right ahead.
Okay. My favorite steak that I've ever had in a restaurant is filet farci by Le Loutre at Christian's.
Oh, wasn't that a great dish? And wasn't that a great restaurant? I really missed it.
Yeah, me too.
I wish they were still around. But, you know, I have the steak, recipe for that steak that you were looking for.
It's easy if you know how to make a good demi-glace.
No, that's not hard. It just takes a long time. That's
yeah,
all.
Exactly. Yeah. You don't whip up a quick demi-glace sauce.
No, but, that's true.
Okay, so, Steve, if you had to go to a steakhouse for a steak, where would it be?
Well, it's funny. My wife's going to Ruth's Chris tomorrow night with her. The doctor at the hospital that she works at is taking her people, his people, to Ruth's Chris, and I don't get to go.
Maybe or downtown?
How you like that?
The downtown one.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I would probably go to Ruth's Chris Metairie. Mm-hmm. I've never been to Dickie Brennan's or...
Oh, I forgot about Dickie Brennan's.
I've never been to either one of those two, so I really
can't. How about
La Boca?
That's a sleeper there. La Boca.
I have never set foot in La Boca.
La Boca is fantastic.
I've been to Keith Young's like twice, and I wasn't that crazy about it. But I'm going to be real honest. I've gotten to a point where I would rather eat a good pork chop than a steak.
That's what Tom
says. Oh, me too.
Tom says it.
I'm right with you.
I think they're more flavorful now.
I agree.
Hmm.
No doubt. But a lot of people like the way things look rather than what they taste like.
Yeah. I think a steak, like you were talking about, Marianne, I think I can cook a steak as good as most restaurants can. It's just a matter of, you know, do I want to spend the money to get a piece of prime beef, you know? And even if I don't, I can just get a really good steak and cook it pretty damn good.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, it's about the experience. I mean, in my opinion anyway, it's about the experience of being in the steakhouse and, you know, and having the steak there.
Yeah, but that experience at the end when they bring you that check for that $60 steak.
it's a lowball here. It's only $240.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I can't deny it. You have to pay money for experience, that's for sure.
Yeah, so... But that's, I would rather, the filet farci, like I said, that was the one that they did something different. It wasn't just a piece of meat cooked correctly. It was, you know, and that's what I pay for me at the restaurant. I want them to do something that I can't do.
That's that kind of smacks of Joe Kahn's famous 2-2-2 rule.
Yeah.
What's that?
If it has more than two ingredients, takes more than two pots or 2 hours, go to a restaurant.
Yeah,
okay.
He was the best. That guy could tell funniest things about the most drivel Nothing.
Yeah, what's that word?
Background.
Yeah.
I'll never use it again, so don't ask.
Good, okay.
I'm going to start writing these down. You can have a whole new dictionary.
Yeah, yeah, the Tom Fitzmaurice.
Yeah, yeah.
We had a friend that used to say Chaganooga.
We're going to put out another book this year, so maybe it'll be Tom's Dictionary.
Yeah,
all right, Steve, anything else?
That'll do.
All right, take care. 260-6368 is the number. Let's go right.
WG.
No.
Wait, I just heard. Doug, you just told me something. And and it was something about Doug. No, what was it? WG. Okay. Well, here we are. Is he here?
Yeah.
What's going
on? Can you hear me?
No. Yeah,
yes.
I can hear you fine. Thank
Hello?
You.
All right. No, it's A-W-G.
Hey, I'm sorry. I don't know how that happened, but you are here now. Fire away.
Yep. I'm calling you live from the 72 Dodge Dart with my HD radio installed so I can catch you now.
Oh, great. I'm glad to hear that.
So I just got in range, so I guess y'all are talking about steak, right?
That's exactly right. Excellent thinking.
Yeah, so for me, as it stands right now, my favorite, if I'm going to get a steak, I'm going to go to Ruth's Chris and get a filet. And I get the small filet, the petite filet. And to me, it's hard to beat. And the service is always great. I've been to Fleming's, and Fleming's is okay. I mean, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
They have really great sides, but I don't think it beats Roots. And
no, definitely
as
not.
Far as other, and as far as other steak places, I have not been to Charlie's, have not been to Crescent City, have not been to Mr. John's. So I can't comment on those. Those may or may not be better, but I never give them a chance because I always want to go to Roots if I'm going to get a steak. And it's not that often that I do that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, Metairie or downtown?
Downtown.
Okay. All right.
Hmm. Although Metairie is closer. It's closer for me, but I go downtown. I don't know. I just like it. Just like the experience.
It's a much more glamorous place for sure. What was the restaurant that was there before that was really good?
Where?
The Ruth's Chris.
Ruth's
Chris downtown used to be a cool, glamorous place. Don't go away before we talk about your 1972 Dodge Dart. Is it gone?
No. Yeah, no, I'm here.
Yeah. So your Dodge Dart is what year?
1972 Dodge Dart.
Wow.
Not really.
Cool.
It's a joke because when y'all went deep, the car that I had did not have HD radio, so I could never listen to y'all.
More's the pity.
So I just joke around and say, yeah, I got a new radio, HD radio, and put it in my Dodge Dart.
There you go. Why not?
Well, I think the Dodge Dart is a very cool car, and I wish that I had a 72 Dodge Dart.
Mm. Yeah, I wish I had a 1963 Volkswagen Beetle to replace the one I already have.
I wish I had a 2020 Mercedes. What is that thing? The Kim Kardashian vehicle?
Mercedes.
The $150,000 one. I wish I had that. Anyway, thank you for calling.
Wait. One more thing.
Wait.
Oh, yeah.
Something else. Okay, go.
Well, yeah, one more thing. Okay, so if I'm going to fix my own steak, I go buy a whole tenderloin, and you can get it from either Rouse's or from Dorgnack's or even Sam's if you want. And you slice that bad boy, and what you do is you put it in a pan in butter, you salt and pepper it, put a lot of pepper in it, a whole lot of pepper, and you just put a couple of minutes, like 2 or 3 minutes on each one if you cut them about 2 inches thick, and then you take them off, and then you throw a little bit of some...
Worcestershire?
The flammable liqueur in there. Light it, then throw in your heavy cream, mix it up, boom, bada bing, and you've got steak au poivre, and I tell you what, that is
the
dive bar.
That sounds great.
And you can... Yeah, you can do it in about 20 minutes.
Are you talking about cognac?
No.
Yeah, cognac. Thank you.
Yeah.
Cognac?
Okay.
Well, then I'm wrong.
The flaming, yeah. That sounds delish.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good.
The whole thing is making a decision as to, do you want the crusty outside and then the juicy inside for a steak? And you can go either way with that. They'll come out with two different flavors and look different.
I want the crusty outside and the crusty inside.
Well, if you can eat all that, you're in good shape.
That's why chefs always get mad, I'm sure, when I order a steak and they don't want to cook it like that.
Yeah, well, you know, you can't please everyone.
God bless you. Uh-oh.
You are listening to The Food Show. It is unique in America. As far as I know, I don't know of another radio show that is anything like this, and it's great to be here talking about eating, dining in or out, wine, cocktails. You name it, we'll listen, and we'll probably enjoy as well. Hey, I hear there's something coming up this weekend.
That you're involved in.
I'm involved in something?
Yes, you're the...
What's her name?
We have Drake Morvant on the phone with us. Hi.
Drake Morvant. Is he here now?
Mm-hmm.
Hi.
Hello.
Nice to hear from you.
Hey.
Drake, that's you?
That's me.
And you're also Morvant.
Well, he's Drake Morvant.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
So,
well,
Drake, you're calling to talk about the gumbo cook-off for the Tux organization and Umbrella Walk, correct?
Correct. And Marianne,
hey,
you're part of the judging. You're part of the judging too, correct?
I hear that, yes.
Because we've been giving you top billing.
Ooh, wow.
Ooh. Yeah, it's Marianne and Tom Fitzmaurice.
Okay. Wow.
Now we're getting out of... well, let's...
Tom's not going to like that.
Tell me a little more about this. First of all, where...
It's at Audubon Park.
Audubon Park.
Sure. Well, let me start
off... tell
us
about it, Drake. Give us the details.
Well, you know, the crew of Tux, I'm one of the founders. We started in 1969, and... we were just a bunch of college kids with not a dime in our pocket. And over 50 years later, we now have our own floats, our own den, 1,800 members. And all these years, we've been having like St. Michael's or Magnolia School make our toilet bowl brushes and different things, and we paid them for that. Well, we organized and formalized our charitable efforts into the Tux Charitable Foundation. And our big event is coming up Saturday at Audubon Park. It's called the Tux Umbrella Walk and Gumbo Gras. When you register at the shelter number 10 in Audubon Park, you get an umbrella, a wristband, and tickets to vote for the best gumbo. And then we have two bands that will take a second line all the way around the park. And while we're second lining around the park, you all will be judging the gumbo. Mm-hmm. We also have five finger discount, the big band in New Orleans planned for the whole event from 10 to 1. And we'll have hamburgers and hot dogs. And this year we've included a child section. We call it the Small Fryers. And they're going to have an umbrella to a tent to decorate little umbrellas with and do the walk.
That's cute.
And parents can also pull them in a wagon, and hopefully they come out with decorated wagons that look like floats and what have you. And so it's been a great time. And this year they lifted the 40% chance rain, and the
lucky you,
beautiful day.
Good.
I'm sorry to break in. Go ahead and you finish.
Oh, go ahead. It's
over my head.
The money that we raise. By the way, the crew of Tux pays all the expenses. So everything that we raise goes to the causes. We support Children's Hospital, ALS Association, Ruta Camp, Magnolia School, St. Michael's School. So we spread it around to these groups that are really helping a lot of people in the community.
As soon as you started giving me all of those operations, I know that you're on the level and very, very effective, because there's another one. There's another contest that's earlier in the year or later in the year, depending on how you look at it. And I've been a judge of that for years and years and years. And I always want to see what the organization that they're involved with is like and what they're doing. And this is top class, what is going to happen that day.
It sounds like a fun family event.
It
sounds like a really
indeed.
Fun family event. What time does it start, Drake?
Registration starts at 9 in the morning.
Okay.
And the band starts at 10. The walk's at about 11 or 11:30. And it goes on till about 2. And okay. There'll be face painting and king cake, plenty of everything. And, you know, it's just been a great event for us, and it's really brought people out, the crew, that so many people want to do something, they don't know how to do it. Well, it's given a lot of our members an opportunity to say, hey, we need you to do this, and we need you to do that. Mm-hmm. And we just have so many talented and generous people in the crew that we're very blessed, and it's always a great time.
How big is the crew now?
1,800 members.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
So this is going to be a massive event. Where is the Shelter 10? Where is that?
That is you take the street, it's off Magazine Street, right across from the zoo parking lot.
Okay.
You go like if you were going to the clubhouse to play golf.
Okay, that's what I thought.
It's just to the right, and it has its own bandstand by the pond. It's a beautiful setting.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
You're saying
that's the most popular one.
I remember
that. Okay.
Before.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's going to be get there early. Sounds like parking might be a thing.
Well, yeah, there is. When it gets clogged up right there, you can park across the street, like where you park for the zoo, and just cross across Magazine Street.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. And how many gumbos are we going to be tasting?
This year we have 14 teams.
Oh, okay. That's not too bad.
Last year, Tom told me to draw the limit at 15, so we've cut it off there.
Okay. All right. Well, that sounds like fun. And how much is the ticket for the umbrella and the whole thing?
Well, registration is $25 an adult.
Okay.
Kids to 13 years old are free.
Okay.
So it's a great family time.
Yeah, that's such a great...
Come on, get an umbrella and second lawn and have some gumbo.
Yeah, in a beautiful day, it sounds like a great time. Thank you for
inviting us. We so appreciate y'all. We are very appreciative of y'all giving up your time to come join us and do that for us.
We're excited.
Well, thank you. Our pleasure.
We're very excited. All right, we will keep talking about it and have something in nomenu.com about it, and we'll hit it the next couple of days. So we'll promote it as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. Thank you for all you do.
Which is, we wouldn't be doing anything if we didn't do it.
It's exciting. Okay. Well, we'll see you on Saturday.
Okay. Hey, can I add one thing?
Of course.
Sure.
It's about the Crew of Tucks, not the foundation, but it's all related. But last night on television, we unveiled the first handicap float in Mardi Gras history.
Really?
Robert
Reichert.
Wait a minute.
How does that handle? What? That's so unusual.
Robert Reichert, the son of one of our founders, designed and had built a float that has lifts on the side and the back that wheelchair people or handicapped people and their companion can be lifted onto the float, and the float is handicap ready.
That's fantastic.
Well, congratulations. Congratulations on that.
Yeah, we're real excited about that.
I'll bet you are.
When is your actual parade? What year? What day are you parading?
We are the Saturday before Mardi Gras.
Okay.
And that would be 22, 21, 20, I think the 19th.
Okay.
If Mardi Gras is on the 22nd.
Okay.
But we're Saturday before Mardi Gras.
Okay.
So I appreciate the time y'all have given me, and hope to see a lot of people out there.
We will. Wonderful. We will definitely keep promoting it. Thank you very much for calling, and thank you for inviting us. All right, take care.
Okay.
That was Drake Morvant with the Tux Organization on Saturday. It is the Umbrella Walk and Gumbo Cook-Off, and you and I are going to be tasting 14 of them.
I wish my son Jude were here, because he used to love going to those things. Whenever there was one going on, he would always happen to be in town, and he would go to the event, and it was he would just barrel down gumbo like there was tomorrow.
Well, I think both kids are gumbo fanatics. I know Mary Lee is too. But who isn't a gumbo fanatic? It's delicious stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and they're all different. They're all so different. I went to Pyre Provisions today, and they have a pork gumbo,
yeah,
which is totally different and really great. And
is it a restaurant or a shop?
Pardo's has their pork gumbo, too, which is also great. I mean, it doesn't have to be exactly along the lines of all the others. Which one did I have, and where did I have that recently that had a – oh, it was at Brennan's. I thought the Brennan's seafood gumbo with basmati rice was really good. I haven't you know, it's like you – we eat a lot of these, and every now and then one jumps out at you and makes an impression, and that one did. 260-6368. We only have 10 minutes if you want to call about steaks. We want
or
to
anything
about
else. We'll, if we don't talk about something one day, call us the
next. Well, you know what
day.
I find is happening is that
happening.
People, now that the podcasts are back, thank you, Doug, now that the podcasts are back, we're getting calls from someone who listened to a podcast from last week. And that's how we keep winding up talking about Al Copeland, because every time we talk about him on the show, somebody else listens on a podcast and then brings it up on a show again. So it's kind of like it's almost like a sourdough starter. Al Copeland is our sourdough starter. He just goes from one thing to another. Anyway, did we finish out the almanac? Because we have a few things left, I think, on that.
I don't think so, but we don't have to stop right now.
The old kitchen sage says, and this is kind of valuable information, and I never heard about it before, and I'm really interested in these little kitchen tips, because someone told me that Martha Stewart, my nemesis, said that if you keep an avocado in the refrigerator, it will keep up to 10 days. Well, we've had them in there for 3 weeks, and they still are good. So that's a kitchen tip that I'm very, very grateful to have. But this is the old kitchen sage says, if you need to grate a cheese that's so soft that it sticks to the grater, rub the inside and the outside of the grating surface with butter before you start.
Well, that makes sense.
Did you know that the old kitchen sage said that, Tom?
Well, he knows a few things, you know. It's.
Well, oh, my gosh. Co-hosts, get on alert, because I am fading quickly here.
You're fading?
Yes, I'm fading as whatever it is that's in my throat starts creeping
up. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes, this is not a good development, I have to say. Oh, there was one other thing I wanted to mention about the almanac today. It is National Blonde Brownie Day, so that's a blondie.
A blondie.
A blondie is like a chocolate chip cookie,
it's like
really.
It's like a joke to me. I mean, it's like
no, it's like a chocolate chip cookie is what it is. It's a thick chocolate chip cookie.
Yeah, but who would prefer that to getting the chocolate?
An actual brownie?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you don't like chocolate anyway.
Oh, sure I do. It's just that some others around me do like it better.
Love chocolate. Yes. Yeah. I haven't had chocolate today, which I'm so proud of myself. It's been a day without chocolate.
Oh, gosh. How could you have lived?
I must say, I don't know how I have done it. 260-6368. Want to take another question? Or not a question, but a little... poll we're taking, or we were taking a poll about your favorite steakhouse around town. And then when the last caller called, he mentioned a bunch of places that I didn't even think about, which I should have thought about.
Yeah.
Well, Crescent City's at the top of the list.
Yeah.
We'll be there for Mardi Gras.
Yep, so will I.
And Dickie Brennan's.
Yeah.
And a third one that he mentioned.
Charlie's?
Charlie's.
Charlie's? I haven't been to Charlie's
since right after Katrina.
Yeah, and it took
people
them a
are
long
listening
time
going,
to get
boy,
that.
She doesn't get around much. You're right, I don't get around much. But I haven't been to Charlie's in that long. Well, I mean, Charlie's is not really kind of my kind of place.
Well, yeah. It's a very good friend of mine. In fact, he was the best man at my wedding.
Yeah.
Tom
talks about it like it wasn't my wedding, too. I don't know what that's about, but anyway, go ahead.
Where was I? Oliver is his name. And whenever we get together, we were in business together. He did advertising, and I did a different kind of advertising. Anyway, it's all of this is boring. What we used to do would be once in a while, we'd show up at Charlie's Steakhouse, him and me, and we'd eat, you know, a big steak. The T-bone was the one that was they were famous for. And then it had the sizzling butter all over the place that you had to hold up your tablecloth to keep yourself from getting drenched in butter. And the famous onion rings were really good. That was the only appetizer they had, just that big pile of those. And you could really get yourself used to them if you let it go around you. But that just straight-ahead steak that they did over there was like nothing I've ever seen anywhere else. But they've always been popular. But I haven't been there in years. Anybody out there been to Charlie's in a while?
You have
Call us and tell us. Yeah. Well, you know, we can shoot it in about 30 seconds if you want. But we'd love to hear from you no matter what. 260-63. 6'8".
Yes.
Did you know? You must know this. One of the funny little things is about Louis Armstrong.
Yeah, what about him?
Is that whenever he sang a song or even spoke it, he would let that S just keep on going.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was most famous for, what was his most famous song? The one that everybody knows. And you'll see it's right there.
I like whatever is this song. Dun,
what? No, go ahead.
Wait, I can't remember how it goes. Dun. Oh, A Kiss to Hang a Dream On. A Kiss to Hang a Dream On. Is that the name of it?
A Kiss to to lead a little.
Yeah. A Kiss to Hang a Dream On is the name of
to
it.
Him a, yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
See, there they are.
260-6368 is the number.
Hello, Dolly. This is
Oh,
Lewis.
That?
Wait, listen to this.
Yeah.
Hello, Dolly. This is Het. This is, wait, who? It was a, this is... If only I could keep one thing in my brain. Hello,
Louis Armstrong.
Bobby, this is...
I'm sorry. I shouldn't be talking. I should be
Louis.
Oh, there you go.
There it was.
The Oracle speaks. If only we could hear him.
The who?
He's going to yell, put your headsets on. Anyway, so we are going to be at Andrea's tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
For their anniversary dinner. Happy anniversary, Andrea.
What time? Do you know?
6:30.
6:30.
And
okay.
Then on Saturday at the Tux Umbrella and Gumbo Cook-Off Walk.
Yeah.
That sounds like fun. I'm excited
about
that.
Yeah, a lot going on. But
yeah,
it goes
really
to
nice.
Show that if anybody ever had any dits about any doubts.
Oh, I'm going to start. Tom, I actually am going to start writing that book.
Yeah.
I'm going to write these words down. Of course, we'll have to make up meanings. That might be kind of fun.
What words?
These words that you're making up, we can make up meanings to them, too. We can publish that as a new book, the book for 2020, Tom's New Dictionary. You know, they have the Urban Dictionary. We can have Tom's Dictionary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.